This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And maybe today, with the market turning around a little bit better, with the gasoline crisis subsiding at least a little bit, and all of a sudden with maybe an agreement on that commission to investigate what actually happened on January 6th, maybe it's a good time to settle back and try to figure out how did we get to where we are right now politically. There is a spellbinding book just published, and it honestly is one of those things when you pick it up, you start reading it and then stay up too late. And that's not a bad thing when a book is as well done as Lucky. The subtitle is How Joe Biden Barely Won the Presidency. And if you found the campaign at all exciting, thrilling, I think you'll find this book eye-opening and dramatic. The co-authors, Amy Parnas and Jonathan Allen, previously wrote that book about how the Clinton campaign self-destructed, a book called Shattered, which was a number one bestseller. This one is bound for the bestsellers list as well. It's on our website, michaelmedved.com. Jonathan Allen joins us. Jonathan, congratulations on the book, and it's amazing that you were able to get it out so quickly.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Really appreciate being back on your show, and it was a labor of love and passion and persistence to get it out so fast, to be honest.
Well, except you must have learned, because I was obviously following and covering the campaign very closely, and there are things in the book that surprised me, that I didn't know. What surprised you most of the various discoveries you made talking to top personnel in both campaigns?
Well, you know, there were a few things, and we detail a lot of this in the book, but I think, you know, the degree to which so few of the members of the Democratic establishment had faith in Joe Biden, you know, before, you know, when he was originally running, just how close he came to dropping out of the race after he lost Iowa and New Hampshire. I mean, he got to a point where, as we report in the book, his campaign aides went to him and said he might have to take out a second loan on his house to make payroll. Found all of that surprising. I think the degree to which privately members of his own campaign were willing to concede that the pandemic was a huge benefit to him politically was somewhat surprising. We go through that in the book.
What you say in the book is that basically the pandemic ended up helping Biden, not just because it soured Americans' mood about what's going on in the country, etc., and that always hurts an incumbent president, but because it kept him in his basement and kept him off the stump where his campaign aides did not want him on the stump that much, right? I mean,
That's right. One of his top advisors, in fact, he's still a senior advisor at the White House, Anita Dunn, told a colleague that, an associate, I should say, that the pandemic was the best thing that ever happened to Biden. And what she meant by that was not the death that it wrought, but instead simply what you just suggested, which is his biggest weakness is off-the-cuff speaking. And, you know, they were really able to control what he was saying, when he was saying it, who he was saying it to for months as President Trump was, you know, very much out front. And I think, you know, some of Trump's aides, you know, conceded this to us in the book that, you know, he was damaging himself with some of the things he was saying in public during certainly the early months of the pandemic.
Okay, in terms of another sort of stroke of fate that clearly helped Biden, you point out, and I'd forgotten about this, how incredibly messed up, fouled up, to use polite language, the Iowa caucuses were. And he did horribly in Iowa. For somebody who's a former vice president of the United States, he got wiped out by no names and people couldn't even pronounce, like Buttigieg. And the fact that the results in Iowa took so long to come through, that actually prevented Biden from having that horrible caucus night embarrassment, right?
It's really amazing. And if you go back, I guess, about 48 hours before that, the run of luck really starts for him when Pete Buttigieg's team, one of their volunteers, gets a phone call from a pollster, and Buttigieg's name is not read off on the list of possible candidates. And so Buttigieg's team ends up, starting this sort of micro campaign to get CNN and the Des Moines Register to not report their poll results. And Biden was in a distant fourth in that poll. Now, the Buttigieg people were doing it for their own purposes. They saw Sanders winning in that poll and themselves coming in third behind Warren. And they thought, if this poll comes out, it's really going to damage our momentum. We feel like we're building up toward a win, and our momentum will be damaged. So they go on this mission. We detail it in the book, you know, calling CNN, calling the Des Moines Register. Finally, they're able to get the CNN to pull the Des Moines Register poll, which is, for all of the Iowans and certainly the rest of the political world that focuses intently, is the bellwether for what's going to happen in Iowa. And they get it scotched. And then, as a result of that, Biden doesn't have to endure, a day of being read out as sort of the loser. And also it robs some momentum from Bernie Sanders, who would have gotten a day of wall-to-wall coverage of being the leader in that poll. And then again, fast forward to caucus day, the Democratic Party had used a computer app, phone app for the reporting of results, and it went haywire. And so nobody knew who was winning. The Sanders people had some idea what was going on with their, the precincts they did well in. The Buttigieg people had a pretty good idea of what was going on, but nobody had actual official results. And as a result of that, the winner was not declared. And also as a result of that, Biden coming in fourth ends up getting completely obscured by the sort of chaos of the first presidential election of any kind since that 2016 general election. And the Democrats look, completely incompetent. But it ends up being a blessing for Biden, who moves on to New Hampshire without the political obituary writers, fast on the trail of the two-term former vice president failing.
Okay, is there something? I'm speaking with Jonathan Allen, whose new book "Lucky" is subtitled "How Joe Biden Barely Won the Presidency." With that bare victory that you describe in the book, is there something you think President Trump could have done differently that would have turned the tide and reelected him?
I mean, people in both campaigns said to us that they thought if President Trump had shown more compassion during the early months of the pandemic, that he probably would have won the election. Some people believe that had he not had such a bombastic performance in the first debate, that he might have won. I mean, there's so many factors that if you flip them in the other direction, Trump probably wins. But really, sort of the handling of the pandemic and not so much on a substantive level, because I don't believe, and I don't think many of our sources believe, that anyone really blamed the president for the pandemic hitting. I don't think they blamed him for the economy taking a shot as a result of it. But I do think that his refusal to consistently talk about the human cost of the pandemic, I think really sort of played into the Democratic argument against him.
Jonathan, can you stick with us for another segment here on this book?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. We look forward to it. The book is called Lucky: How Joe Biden Barely Won the Presidency. So, having covered encyclopedically the 2016 campaign and the 2020 campaign, what should we expect for 2024? Liz Cheney was asked today about, will she make a race? What does Jonathan Allen expect? We'll get back to that on the Medved Show. first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5-6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book. Free. Darwin's Three Big Ideas that Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, one of the themes of Jonathan Allen's books is just how hard, how incredibly difficult it is to predict what's going to happen in presidential politics. I mean, his previous book, Shattered, about the basic collapse and self-immolation of the Clinton campaign in 2016, I mean, makes the point that no one expected that Donald Trump would win the Republican nomination or that he could possibly beat the Clinton juggernaut. Well, he did. And now he has a book, Lucky, talking about how Joe Biden barely won the presidency. And what the book reminds all of us is that if you ask anybody, I mean any political expert in, say, February of 2020, which honestly is not that long ago, what are Joe Biden's chances? What would they have said after Iowa and New Hampshire, Jonathan Allen? What would have been the general verdict on Biden's shot at winning the presidency at that point?
Very low. So low, in fact, that Michael Bloomberg was ramping up to get into the election at that time. And if you'll recall, I'm sure many of the listeners do, Elizabeth Warren kind of took him out on the debate stage, doing a huge favor, another one of those lucky breaks for Biden that he had very little to do with. But Bloomberg was sort of, metaphorically undressed on stage by Elizabeth Warren. I think that if you'd asked anybody in February, including members of his own campaign, they would have said there was very little shot. In fact, his eventual general election campaign manager, Jen O'Malley Dillon, got dispatched to volunteer for him in Nevada and the caucuses there in, mid to late February. And she thought that there was a better than even chance that she was going out there to help wind down the campaign rather than, going in there to watch a resurgent campaign and eventually join it on staff as the campaign manager.
Okay, having established that things are very, very difficult to predict, the book is lucky. One of the sentences that struck me that I underlined in the book is Biden was the passenger on his own thrill ride. You can ride along on that own thrill ride with the book Lucky. Having established it, it's tough to predict what happens even next month in politics, but let's go into chancy territory on our own thrill ride, and 3.5 years from now, who do you think are the likely candidates for both parties, and what do you think is the most likely result? I'm putting you on a ridiculous spot.
Well, let me just start with my premise that anybody who wants to be president never loses that bug. Until things change, I will assume that Joe Biden is the likely Democrat, most likely Democratic candidate for the next election, and that Donald Trump is planning to run for re-election until he says otherwise. That said, we're watching a lot of Republicans position themselves right now for the possibility that Trump won't run. And perhaps Liz Cheney, who you mentioned earlier, positioning herself for the possibility that Trump does run and running against him or one of the others. I think one of the interesting features of the Republican primary that's a little different from the Democratic primary is that many of the states, in terms of the delegates, are winner-take-all, which means that you can win a plurality in any of those primary contests and win all of the delegates for a state, which is why Trump was able with a plurality in many of the early states to win all of the delegates and put himself on a path to win the nomination without having had a majority in many of those early states, which means to me that if there's a crowded Republican field, you could end up with a nominee who is very pro-Trump or you could end up with a nominee who is anti-Trump. I think the likelihood, though, is that Trump's going to continue to define the Republican Party for, at least for the foreseeable future. And when I say foreseeable, to your point, it's hard to predict how long that is. But I would say probably at least until the midterms, when people get very serious about whether or not they're running, it's still Trump's party. On the Democratic side, I think you're going to see Kamala Harris try to do what she can to shine, in Joe Biden's shadow. And hope that she's in a position, if he doesn't run, to clear the field. I'm not sure that's going to be possible, though. I think there are a lot of Democrats who would like to run if she is, running for the presidency from the vice presidency.
You talk about people getting the presidential bug. Andrew Yang is running an incredibly strong campaign for mayor of New York. He ran a shockingly effective campaign for president of the United States last time. If he's elected mayor of New York, do you think he becomes a factor in the presidential race?
I think it certainly gives him the platform to do that. I think it depends on how he conducts himself in that job if he wins it. You know, it depends on a number of other factors, but he's certainly somebody who has the capacity to appeal to people outside of the traditional partisan lanes, and that's, you know, when Barack Obama won the presidency in 2008, one of the things that was clear was he was bringing people into the process who didn't normally vote. He was, you know, and we see with the counties that flipped, you know, from Obama to Trump, and either stayed Republican or narrowly went back Democratic. There were parts of the country where, you know, Obama was very popular in 2008, but are not necessarily, you know, strongly Democratic leaning. And you saw with Trump the ability to bring people into the political process who don't normally vote. You know, he got something like 17% more votes in 2020 than he did in 2016. After all the predictions, and I was certainly on the wrong side of this, that he, you know, was narrowing his support. I don't think he broadened it in terms of ideology, but he certainly deepened it in terms of the number of people that he brought into the process.
And one of the points that you make is, and you go through it state by state, there are a bunch of states where Trump strikingly improved his performance in 2020 over what he did in 2016, and where Biden actually did worse than Hillary. So how did Biden end up winning those states?
It's really the absence of strength of third-party candidates. So you saw in 2000, you know, Gary Johnson running as Libertarian. Her name is escaping me.
Jill Stein running as the Green Party. So memorable.
So memorable. And but those candidates, look, there were a lot of people in 2000 that didn't want to vote for Trump and couldn't abide Hillary Clinton and voted for one of those other candidates. And this time around, you really didn't see much of that. So Trump's percentage of the vote in some of the states rose, even as the Democratic percentage fell. And you know, Trump still lost those states. I want to say off the top of my head, you know, that Arizona is a place where he may have improved his percentage and still lost.
Yeah. Any major evidence of election fraud?
Not at all. I didn't find any evidence of that in any of my other reporting.
I appreciate that. Jonathan Allen is the co-author of Lucky, How Joe Biden Barely Won the Presidency. He's also a political analyst, senior political analyst with NBC News, and a former White House bureau chief for Politico. Appreciate your joining us. We'll be right back.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
DarkSide, the hacking group linked to the attack on a U.S. pipeline, has said it is shutting down. That's according to cybersecurity firm FireEye. The group did receive $5 million in Bitcoin from Colonial Pipeline, which says they are expanding fuel deliveries along the East Coast today after being shut down due to that cyber attack. States across the United States are lifting coronavirus mask mandates following new guidance from the CDC. The new guidelines announced on Thursday say anyone who is fully vaccinated no longer needs to wear a mask, with some exceptions. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky tells NBC's Today Show local mask rules may still be in effect.
This country is not uniform. There are places in this country that still have higher rates of disease. There are places in this country that still have lower rates of vaccination.
USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
On the Michael Medved Show, if you're interested in the best possible means of counteracting the notion that the United States is some kind of evil conspiracy with poisonous and toxic racism right in the roots of the Republic, there's a podcast in our In Light of History series entitled, No, They Didn't Build the Republic Based on Racism. And it uses the words, but more importantly, the actions of founding fathers in the Confederation Congress before the new Constitution and the new Constitutional Convention. And then afterward, going into the Jefferson administration. A basic proof. And it's right there for you with very specific references and quotes. Basic proof that the founders, including those who were slave owners, and of course you're not supposed to say slave owners anymore, now you're supposed to say enslavers, but people who were tangled up in the evil institution of slavery, who clearly were not only embarrassed by it, but horrified by it, and wanted to correct it, and wanted to make sure that America had a slavery-free future. Check it out. It's at for Medheads at michaelmedved.com. You can join and be part of our Medhead membership for just 11 cents a day. And it also gives you free access to our podcast series In Light of History, plus half price off any of the downloads of any of our close to 100 different history programs at Medved History Store. Check it out at medvedhistorystore.com or at michaelmedved.com and invest the 11 cents a day to become a podcast member. One of the lines from William Faulkner in his Nobel Prize acceptance speech that has resonated, I think, so profoundly is, he says, history isn't even past. And he says that history isn't dead. In fact, it isn't even past. The idea that you can get beyond history ever is simply a delusion. It keeps bringing us back, and as Fitzgerald says, and so we beat on boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. Well, maybe that explains why they announced a deal earlier today for a congressional authorization for a big nonpartisan commission to investigate what happened on January 6th. I would have thought, I think people kind of know what happened. There's fairly dramatic footage, which was used, as you'll recall, in the impeachment trial of President Trump while he was still president. There's been news reporting. There have now been more than 400 people arrested and charged with violent crimes during that episode. And here is the story, however. The story indicates that Democrats and Republicans in Congress reached an agreement today on creating an independent bipartisan commission to investigate the January 6th Capitol riot. But the House GOP leader, that would be Kevin McCarthy, said he didn't sign off on the deal moments after it was announced. House Homeland Security Chairman Benny Thompson, who's a Democrat from Mississippi, member of the Black Caucus, said in a news release that he had reached a deal with committee ranking member John Katko, Republican of New York, who's an independent-minded Republican, on creating a panel styled after the 9/11 Commission to study the facts and circumstances of the January 6th attack on the Capitol, as well as the influencing factors that may have provoked the attack on our democracy. Do we really need that? I'm not sure that we do. But, again, it's one of those things, and you see this on both sides, but I think it's particularly true of Democrats. The idea that Congress has a major investigatory function, that it's Congress's job to expose wrongdoing and to go after it, that's why we have a Justice Department. That's why we have an FBI. That's why we have a huge, what is it, we have 60,000 employees of the Justice Department around the country who are U.S. attorneys and others who are supposed to investigate all of this. And then, of course, there are statewide responsibilities. If somebody was involved in some kind of conspiracy on January 6th, I don't think it's helpful to basically pursue politics by trying to discredit the other side. And what this is an attempt to do is to try to basically revisit impeachment and put blame for January 6th on a former president I could name and who you know about. The proposed 10-member commission will include 5 members, including a chair, appointed by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. The other 5, including a vice chair, appointed by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the release said. So it's supposed to be a balanced commission, though it's tipped over because the chair will be appointed by the Democrats. And obviously, there, I'm sure, will be lots of aspiring politicians and other politicians who may or may not be permanently retired. You know who probably wants to be on the commission? Chris Christie. He seems to love talking about January 6th from every perspective. One of Kevin McCarthy's reservations about the commission is he wanted its mandate to be broader and to not only take a look at January 6th, but to take about other riots that took place with property destruction and injured cops and, yes, even some deaths in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in Portland, Oregon, and other places. Other riots that took place that were launched from the left. And that seems to me not unreasonable. And basically what McCarthy said in response to being told that the commission would be limited in scope for the January 6th riot, he said, you've got to look at what the buildup before and what has gone on afterwards. Otherwise, the commission does not work. He also accused Pelosi of having played politics with this for a number of months. McCarthy said Katko had told him the scope would be broader. Katko, the Republican who agreed to this. In a statement issued this morning, Katko said the proposed commission would investigate the January 6th attack and security vulnerabilities in the Capitol complex, but added that the Capitol remains a target for extremists of all ideologies. The legislation to create the commission, titled the National Commission to Investigate the January 6th Attack on the United States Capitol Complex, will be introduced by Thompson and Casco later today. It already has been. And it's expected to be considered in the House as soon as next week. The proposed bill mandates that the commissioners have significant expertise in the areas of law enforcement, civil rights, civil liberties, privacy, intelligence, and cybersecurity, and current government officers or employees are prohibited from appointment. That's why I mentioned that there would be retired politicians who I'm sure would play a role. Look, they had those awful hearings, and the hearings made everybody look bad. It made everybody look bad, Republicans as well as Democrats. I do not believe, as Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia said, that the video of what happened at the Capitol building on January 6th shows that people were really just like ordinary tourists. I don't agree with the Republican who put the question, well, how can you say these people were Trump supporters? If you look at the video, they're all wearing MAGA hats and carrying Trump paraphernalia, and they all have internet records, and all that was a false flag operation. Do we need this now? Is this going to help our politics when we have some real problems, including budgetary problems that demand a response? We'll get to that and more on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for MedVed listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Michael Medved show, there's all kinds of controversy, of course, regarding the Republican Party's internal politics and the House of Representatives. Even a headline, which doesn't really reflect the content of the piece, a headline over at USA Today, where it says, after ousting Liz Cheney, Republicans prove they're a bigger threat than 9/11 hijackers. A fairly outrageous statement. It's based upon comments that were made by USA Today contributor Kurt Bardella on MSNBC this week. He got some backlash, and I think some backlash is appropriate. I mean, look, the Republicans are a bigger threat than 9/11 hijackers. Well, you could say the 9/11 hijackers killed themselves. They're dead. And Republicans and the Republican Party is very much alive. It controls basically half the government total. If you count the Republican even split in the Senate and then Republicans being more likely to actually control state legislatures and to control governorships, Republican Party is alive. And I don't think that the removal of Liz Cheney, as bad as it is for the party, and I think it is bad for the party, but I don't think that that's a death blow or a mortal blow or a sign that they're worse than the 9/11 hijackers in any sense. Here is House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy congratulating Representative Stefanik on her victory today to replace Liz Cheney as the Republican conference chair. Listen.
We just had an election for our conference chair. I want to congratulate Elise Stefanik and welcome her to the leadership team. I want to thank Chip Roy as well. We had a healthy debate and a good election. We've got a lot of work to do in this leadership team. We've got a lot of work to do in this conference. The policies of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are destroying this nation. We got gasoline lines. We got stations that have no gas. We got gasoline in Virginia at $7 a gallon. We got month over month core inflation we have not seen.
Okay, there are all kinds of financial challenges, and I think that Republicans need to do more of what we heard Kevin Faulkner talk about on our show yesterday. And Kevin Faulkner is, I think, the leading Republican candidate for governor of California. Yes, governor of California. Think of it. Imagine it. If you dream it, it is no fairy tale. In any event, what Kevin Faulkner is talking about is a complete revamp of the state tax system, which has a great impact on driving people out of the state of California and dragging the economy. And meanwhile, I think it's there's every chance that Elise Stefanik, if she shows some kind of discipline and focus, will be able to move beyond these sort of intramural inside baseball issues. Like, I mean, seriously, before this controversy, had you ever really known about the Republican conference chairman, and that's the third most important position in the House? Or, as I mentioned to you, can you even name off the top of your head people out there who the Democratic equivalent is? Who's the third most important Democrat in the House, or even the second most important Democrat? Second is Steny Hoyer of Maryland. And Hakeem Jeffries, who's gotten in a lot of rhetorical trouble by overstating things, he's a member from New York City. He's the Democratic number three. But the new number three was feeling like number one today, and she was actually asked about her position, her role, her relationship with Donald J. Trump. And here's how she answered the question. This is on clip 8.
I believe that voters determine the leader of the Republican Party, and President Trump is the leader that they look to. I support President Trump. Voters support President Trump. He is an important voice in our Republican Party, and we look forward to working with him.
Okay. That clearly is a kind of answer that is going to please the president. But it is not basically saying what Democrats and critics in the media are saying. Oh, she pledged obeisance and obedience and complete ironclad control by President Trump over everything Republican. That's not it. And honestly, I do believe that as time goes on, We are going to find that Donald Trump is not the most important issue in American politics. He could become that again if he does choose to run for another term. But that's a ways from now. We still have the midterms to go through. And honestly, I don't think there are many Republicans who want the focus to be on Donald Trump and whatever he says and whatever his past may involve or whatever it may be uncovered by more useless investigations by various Democratic congressional committees or even this bipartisan commission. It doesn't help Republicans. I don't think it helps conservatives of the country to continue agitating and investigating and making everything about Trump, either love him or hate him. And I actually, maybe it's naive to think this, I think that there are aspects of his position right now where he is not the item of daily controversy everywhere that may even be pleasing and satisfying to President Trump as he begins to face that decision. There's actually a piece, a column today that says that Trump's decision for 2024 may not come in 2023, as most people had expected. It may come before the midterms. I think it would be healthy for the party if it did. Brett Baer had Liz Cheney on Fox, and here is what he asked her and her fairly unequivocal response. This is Brett Baer and Liz Cheney.
Why should Wyoming voters say, reelect you when you're spending so much energy opposing him, so little opposing Biden?
Well, you're wrong.
These are the numbers.
I'm not disputing the numbers, but I'm disputing your characterization of what I'm doing. I think it's really important for us to be as strong as possible in defeating the Biden policies. We cannot do that if we enable a lie. We cannot do that if we fail to learn the lessons from the 2020 election. And the people of Wyoming believe deeply in the Constitution. The people of Wyoming know that we must use the Constitution as our shield, that we must defend the Constitution. And so when you look at the challenge that the former president is presenting right now, still today, claiming that the election was stolen, claiming that our electoral process does not accurately reflect the will of the people, no remorse or regret for January 6th, continuing to use the language that we know inspired
violence
in the past.
Right, and you've said that, and you've listened.
I continue to say it, though.
Okay, she was then asked very directly if she was planning to run for president. And she said no, just denied it, not even the case. And again, we're speaking to Jonathan Allen of NBC News. He was suggesting that Liz Cheney might consider, if Trump did get into the race, so that there is at least some anti-Trump candidate, I don't think she would be the only one. I think there are other people whose ambition would probably lead them to also participate in this race. I continue to hope that one candidate in particular does step forward. I think it would help the Republican Party in every way and would help the country. And that is Senator Tim Scott. I have not forgotten, even though we tend to forget things as news unfolds, what a wonderful speech he gave, how well he expressed himself, not just at the Republican convention, but there too, but in answering President Biden's speech to a joint session of Congress. I think the Democrats who watched Senator Scott, you could tell by how indignant they were and using this Uncle Tim insult, they're afraid of this guy. They are. Because if you imagine Tim Scott debating Joe Biden up on a big stage, if Joe Biden does run for re-election, I kind of suspect he won't, just as I suspect President Trump won't. The contrast between Tim Scott and Joe Biden is very dramatic. Look, Biden would be 82 in 2024. Trump would be 78. For President of the United States? Well, who knows? When we come back, a big new movie with Amy Adams and Gary Oldman and Julianne Moore and Jennifer Jason Leigh and more, plus a thriller with Chris Rock, yes, Thriller, and Samuel L. Jackson. We'll review them and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.